1 Corinthians and chapter number 4. Haven't said that in a while. 1 Corinthians and chapter number 4. Try to start getting back into 1 Corinthians. And we're going to be looking at the end of chapter number 4. And I've titled the message a father's love, but I have another title to it, and it's this. I don't know if this is appropriate for the day and age we live in, but it's this: I'll beat you if I have to, but we'll go with a father's love. But I think that's a good secondary, title. Whichever one you like, you can write down in your notebook or go away with. Let's all stand in honor of the Word of God. And again, my goal is to be done at a quarter till. That's my goal, and I think I can get there. I really do. Just simple thoughts to look at here this evening. And if you begin reading with me in verse number 14. Verse number 14, it says, "I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you." Say, "Oh, I sent Timothy around. He wasn't going to come talk to us himself." But that's not at all what it was. It was that verse number 19. "But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will." If I can get there, I will. But listen, I'm going to send you an example. Start watching Timothy. Observe Timothy. I'll be there as quick as I can. And he says this, though: And I will know not the speech of them that are puffed up, not the boastful words and the bragging and honestly just argumentative. And some people, especially even in church, they argue for the sake of arguing. That's just how they are. They just like to hear themselves talk. And that's even in the house of God. That's that way. And he said, "I'm not going to know the speech of them that are puffed up. But look at this, but the power. I'm going to know from where their power lies. Is it from them or from him? Is this about them or him?" And that's where he's going. He says, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." In power. "What will ye? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and in the spirit of meekness?" So again, that's where we get the titles, a father's love, or if you like this one better, "I'll beat you if I have to." It's your choice. Kind of gives them that choice there in verse number 21. But just want to talk to you just a few minutes about the love of Paul toward these people. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you so much for your word. And Lord, I, in so many ways, I'm inadequate, Lord. And Lord, I still need to understand more my role as a father. And I'm understanding that more and more every day. And not just as an earthly father, but even spiritually. Lord, I pray you just would help us tonight that, Lord, we'd all be helped from Paul's words. And God, we'd realize how much need we have of simply just submitting ourselves to those who would teach us in Christ. That we wouldn't puff up, we wouldn't have arrogance, and we wouldn't try to act as if and speak as if we know all the answers. When honestly the truth is we have need of being taught and trained and just shown the way of Christ. And so, Lord, I pray you'd help us this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think as I was growing up, one of the things that stands out most in my mind of my parents' discipline when I was growing home is many times, I don't know if every time, but But many times my father would bring me in for discipline, and my dad believed in corporal punishment. And I know I've said this before, but I think it's a funny statement, so I'll say it again. He applied the board of correction to the seat of knowledge, amen, and he didn't shy away from that. And I praise the Lord for it. And many people are like, oh, I don't want to hurt my child. And I'm telling you, you can do things incorrectly, and you can do things inappropriately. There's no doubt about that, and you need to be wise in the correction of your children. But at the same time, I still agree with the book of Proverbs. To spare the rod is to spoil the child. And there's great importance in a child understanding. Listen, there are consequences when we do wrong. It just is foreign thinking in my brain and in my mind to think that people can go and vandalize property in the day we live in and act as if there's no consequences. I think every one of those people that are out tearing up property and tearing down public, private property and public property, they need to get a nice glossy portrait of themselves holding a placard, one this direction, another one this direction. And they should learn that there are consequences to breaking the law. And there are. And in a home, there should be guidelines and there should be rules. And not only should there be rules that are stated, there should be, folks, rules that are enforced. Should be in a home. And so I remember in our home, we had rules and guidelines. We had do's and don'ts. And everybody, I just don't like the Bible about thou shalt and thou shalt not. Well, God's a father. He is a father, and he has some do's and don'ts, and there's some guidelines, there's some rules in life that he would have us to follow. And in our home, I think as I was growing up, my dad would often say these words. And I when I was a kid, I mean, I didn't get them at all. I mean, I was like, you're out of your gourd, you know, to say that right before you're getting ready to spank me. But he'd say this, again, I don't know, it was every time I got disciplined, but it was quite often he'd say, son, Joshua, this hurts me more than it hurts you. And those are words that dads can speak and dads can say, but until you're dad, you really have no clue what it is to say, this hurts me more than it hurts you. Because quite honestly, when you're correcting your children, especially when you're correcting them over and over and over for the same thing, can it get come on, parents, help me out. It can get to where it's laborious. It can get to where it's tedious, and it can get to a place to where we could honestly, if we're not careful, we could lose our love in it and just be angry. No, we could so easily get there where we can just be angry that this child will not get it across in his head, and this child will not get the lesson that we're trying to teach. And as you come here to the book of 1 Corinthians, here in verse number 14, and Paul has been leading up to some very stern correction that he's given to give the church, starting in chapter number 5. He's going to start getting some real pointed correction of them, and he's been trying to love them. He's been trying to encourage them, trying to remind them and stirring up the things that God has done in them, and he's kind of got to a moment where he's just kind of like, come on, just do right, just do right. And it's not at all, I don't believe, I think our text really just bears it out, it's not at all that Paul is desirous to say, man, I'm just ready to come in there with the rod and beat the lot of you. No, honestly, it's at a point where he just says, if I have to do that, I will for your own sakes. And remember, correction is not about mom and dad are just right, period. No, correction is for your own good. No. When you break rules, you should know that man, it doesn't do you any good to break any rules. And parents, you're there to help teach them. And so there is a point to where you just have to say, listen, I cannot allow you. And I tell my kids, they probably sit around going, yeah, right. I love you too much not to discipline you. No, I love you too much just to let you just go your own way, let you do your own thing, let you talk back to your mom without being corrected, let you just blow off your chores without being corrected, let you kind of just live life how you want to do without any correction at all. I love you too much to allow you to do those things. And Paul, I mean, quite honestly, verse number 21 is so clear. What do you really want? I mean, are you so prideful that I need to come in there with a rod? Is that really what is needed, or is it that I can just come in there and love on you And wouldn't you rather just be in that place? I mean, just where you could just simply have a right relationship, a loving relationship with your child? I think absolutely every parent would want that. And some would sacrifice even correction to the hurt of their own child because they desire that loving relationship. But quite honestly, what they're doing is more hindering a relationship. I'm telling you, as my dad, I'm telling you... Seemed like every opportunity he had to spank me. He just took full advantage of it, you know. And I tell you what, I don't have a one bone in my body tonight that would look at my dad and say, "How dare you?" No, quite honestly, I'm very thankful for it. Very thankful for it. Because it wasn't done out of a spirit of just, you're not gonna defy me and you're not going to question me and you're gonna do what I say. It was coming from a place that he desired that I would do right before God and that I would walk right before God, and that the rules that we had had in place, they weren't just about well, his idea. Now, some of them were his idea, and it's kind of what he thought, but at the same time, he did a very good job, my dad did, of just saying, "Listen, this is what I think, and this is why." And he was continuing to bring us back to the Word of God, and Paul in this very passage is doing the very same thing, where he says, if you look up in verse number 17, he said, "I'll bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ." They be in Christ. I'm correcting you. I'm acting as a father towards you, and certainly we understand he's speaking in a very spiritual sense. That I love the language he uses in verse number 15. He says, "I have begotten you through the gospel." He said, "I came unto you and I preached the gospel to you and the planted the seed of the Spirit of God, and you were born again in Christ Jesus." I mean, there was a definite, though, part of the process that Paul was sitting there laboring with the gospel, delivering the seed of the Word of God, delivering it. And as it was planted, as it grew upon them, it grew in them, and they received the Word of God, and they were born again through Christ Jesus. I mean, he was acting like, man, I was like, as I was doing my part, I was like a father just anticipating the new birth, amen, of you there in Corinth, and he was desirous to see those happen, and his main desire was not that they would grow up to be their own men, but they would grow up to walk in the ways of Christ. And he tries to help them to understand, "Listen, I beseech you to be followers of me," verse number 16. "Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me, because I'm following Christ." I'm following Christ. It's not about me. It's not about that Paul has the best ideas or Paul has the only way, but he desired that they would come into the ways of Christ and that they would be encouraged in the ways of Christ and that they would walk in the way of Christ. And he sends Timothy to them as an example to give them remembrance of Paul's ways. And you say, "What do you mean remembrance of Paul's ways?" Ways just literally means a road. It's a progress. It's a mode or a means. It's a journey. I mean, we can almost say it like this. You need to be discipled again. I mean, we're going to have to go back and relearn some things. I want to put you in remembrance of the direction we were going. We're going to start back at point A, and we're going to make it to point B. And I'm desirous that you would learn my ways, because my ways are not just my ways. My ways are the ways of Christ. It's a very important, if I was going to look at someone and say, "Listen, you need to follow me." It's really important if I'm going to ask someone to follow me, especially in a spiritual sense, that I would be going in the right way. Amen. I mean, can you understand that? That get behind me and we're going this direction and this is the right way to go. It'd be very important that I would qualify that, right? And Paul kind of put some qualifiers on the way he is going and the road he is going and the journey that he is making and the direction that he is leading them. And he says this, "My one desire is that you would be walking in a right way, in my way. And the reason I want you to walk in my way is because my way is Christ's way. That's the way I'm walking in. That's the way everyone should be going. And so he qualifies this way that he is going. He denotes their position in this way. It's Christ's way. He qualifies them, and he doesn't pull some random ways. He doesn't say, listen, I've written the book on the subject. These are Paul's ways of life, and you need to follow after me. No, he follow after me as I follow Christ. He also qualifies it that there are some... that there were some for everyone, that there were the same ways for everyone, everywhere. Think about that when you think of Christendom today. They said, listen, I want you to follow me because I'm following after Christ. And this is what, as you follow me, you need to understand this. He says, this is the same way that should be taught everywhere, the same way that I teach everywhere in every church. Yeah. Think about that. Say, well, this church does it this way and this church does it that way. Not everybody's right. Not everybody's right. Not everybody's going. I mean, we can't say, well, you say the ways of Christ are this way and you say the ways of Christ are that way. Well, which one's right? Well, one of us is wrong. One of us is wrong. And Paul's just very clear that while there might be those there that are leading in a wrong way, I want you to be very clear that I'm leading you in the ways of Christ, or the ways that be in Christ. And so as he begins to instruct them, you say, well, what was really going wrong in the church of Corinth? Well, I mean, you can make a short list. I mean, they had fornication. I mean, just in the church, they had problems doctrinally within the church that weren't being corrected. They had problems with the ordinances within the church, so they weren't being cleaned up properly. They had problems with spiritual gifts within the church. They had even got problems. You get down to chapter number 15. Here we looked at it quite extensively here a few weeks ago with Brother McCracken, with the gospel itself. I mean, this church had gotten far away from the way of Christ and the ways of Christ. And so Paul is sending them Timothy, not because Paul's trying to hide from the problem, not because Paul's trying to send him in to do the dirty work, but he just says, listen, I'm just sending him in there. Look at what he says. I've sent Timotheus, who is my beloved son, which is the same relationship he desired to have with all of them. Amen? That's what he's talking about. I've begotten you in the faith. He desired to have the same relationship with them. He's saying, this is a Timothy, whom I have a right relationship with the Lord. He is faithful in the Lord and shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ. Here's an example for you. I want you to follow after him and to be mindful of what he's doing. I want you to look at his ways and observe his ways. Well, why is that? Because he understood verse number 18 that some of them are puffed up. They are puffed up. So you say, well, what's puffed up? Don't tell me what to do. No, nobody's telling me what to do. I'm not going to get instructed by anybody. It's puffed up. No, that's what was going on. Is, well, who's Paul think he is? Well, according to Paul, he kind of just acting like, well, I'm your spiritual father. That's who I am. And if I have to, I will discipline you if need be. But I'd rather just come in and love correct you. But that wasn't going to take place. In fact, it was quite the opposite. Is these people now were not only not walking in the ways of Christ, but they were looking to fight with anybody that pointed it out. No, they're puffed up. I mean, it wasn't just that they weren't walking in right ways. And we're going to get into all the different just problems that were there. But this was where we kind of get back to the idea that throughout the entirety of the book of Corinthians just keeps coming up and up and up, is there was contention among them. Do you remember that? No, go back to chapter number 1 and be reminded a little bit. He says in verse number 10, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing, that there be no division among you, that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me, my brethren, which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. There's contention among you. There's fighting among you. Well, why is that? Because anybody comes around and say, you know what? That's not the way Christ has taught us to taught that it should be done. That's not the way Paul's taught it. Well, I don't care. I'm following this teacher. Well, I'm following that teacher. Well, I'm listening to what this guy has to say, and I'm listening to what that guy has to say. That was the entirety of the problem. And anytime someone would come in and say, you know what? We just need to get back to the ways of Christ. What are you talking about? What do you mean I'm not following Christ? Man, with a wonderful attitude like that, how could you not be, right? No, come on. Think about the way we act sometimes. When somebody just comes on and say, you know what, according to the Word of God, no, you're not walking in the ways of Christ. And it's not a matter of coming along and saying, I'm just ready to beat you with the rod of the Word of God, and I'm going to beat you over the head with the Bible. That's not at all what Paul was wanting to do. It's what Paul was willing to do if need be. But these people had such contentions among them that they couldn't be corrected. Nobody could tell them that they were wrong. Amen. Sounds like a Baptist church to me. Amen. I mean, nobody could just look at them and say, you know what, you're not walking right. Your spirit's not right. Your attitude's not right. The way you say, well, what do you mean the ways of Christ? I mean, you're not living in a Christ-like manner. The life that you're living, the testimony that you're giving off, the way in which you're going, the ways in which you're living are not Christ-like. And that wasn't to them going, oh man, really? Well, what do I need to do right? Well, let's look into the Word of God together. Let's find out what the ways of Christ are. Let's correct this in your life. Let's get this right. Let's make sure we're getting right with the Lord. That wasn't met by the Corinthians church like, man, thank you for helping me. I'm so grateful that you were willing to point that out to me. I'm so thrilled that you were willing to stop and show me the Scripture and teach me the Scripture and help me understand it. I'm telling you, thank you. It's not how it was met there. Hey, we're not walking in the ways of Christ. What do you mean we're not? Us? If anybody's walking the way of Christ, we are walking in the ways of Christ. Come on, they were puffed up about it. There wasn't a humility to say, you know what? If I'm not walking the ways of Christ, I really want to be there. If I'm putting off some kind of attitude or some kind of spirit that would cause me to bring reproach to the name of Christ or that would cause people to have a false identity or a false understanding, I guess, rather, about who Christ is. Man, I want to get that right. There was no humility in the church because there was great contention within the church. And you say, well, what's that mean? Well, again, scriptures that we've been going back to over and over again in the book of Corinthians, Proverbs 16:18. I'm sorry, Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. So what are you saying? I'm saying that when somebody comes along like, well, Paul, their spiritual father, and says, hey, listen, you're not walking in the ways of Christ, and I'm going to give you some examples, and I'm going to give you correction, and what we don't need is we don't need this. It's telling me nothing. Nobody's telling me nothing. I got it all figured out on my own. We don't need that kind of spirit. We don't need that kind of attitude. No, that only brings contention, and that only comes from pride. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And these people had gotten to the place to where, I mean, they were ready to just, if you will, throw down and fight at a moment's notice. I mean, they were going to stick out their chest. I mean, they were going to exhibit the kind of character that would be completely opposite of the character of Christ. They were going to have the kind of character of pride, of arrogance, of a puffed out chest, as opposed to just a humility before Christ. And Paul's just very clear. Listen, when we come, it's not going to be who can win a battle of words. Look at verse number 19 again. He says, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and I will know not the speech of them which are puffed up. I'm not going to be looking. It really doesn't matter what they're saying. Their pride's going to speak for itself. And we're going to know what power that they're operating in. No. If I'm operating in pride, Even if I'm acting spiritual, understand, my words are going to be kind of vain. They're going to be kind of worthless. And I might be able to speak loud, and I might be able to talk good, and I might be able to shut everybody else up because I got a quick tongue. But the reality is that, the Lord knows of what power I'm operating in. And when we think of power there, it literally is. Both times you read the word power, it's talking about the explosive power. I mean, Holy Spirit power right there. Basically, we'd understand this. I'm going to know what spirit you're of. I'm going to know what spirit you are of. If you go over to James in chapter number 1, and I know what probably familiar for us, James in chapter number 1. James 1 and verse number 26. If any man among you seem to be religious, James 1:26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is... So what, you can talk. So what, you can shut other people up, talk over them, puff out your chest, boast yourself of being very spiritual. So what? When I get there, it's not going to be words. He said, your words are simply going to do nothing. I'm going to know exactly what spirit you're of. I'm going to know exactly what spirit you're of. He says this in verse number 20. For the kingdom of God is not in word. It's not about who can talk the best. It's not about who the best teacher is. That's what they were all worried about. If you read these first four chapters of Corinthians, go back to chapter number 1. It's not about who can yell the loudest, who can talk the loudest, who can get the greatest oration out there. It's about power. And Paul wasn't talking about coming to them in his own power. Because in his own power, listen to me, Paul couldn't teach the ways of Christ. No, are you with me? I mean, he wanted them to be grounded in the ways of Christ. The only way we find ourselves grounded in the ways of Christ and walking in the way of Christ has nothing to do with who can put their chest out the farthest. It has nothing to do with who has the most notches in their belt, who looks the most impressive, and who can browbeat everybody else into believing that they're spiritual. It has nothing to do with that. It has all to do with the power in which we operate. I'm telling you, if you operate under the power of the Spirit of God, and you're directed by the power of the Spirit of God, do you realize what you're going to be doing is pointing men unto Christ? And you're going to help them to understand the ways of Christ. It's not about how well you can speak and the persona in which you can put off. No, no, no. If you're really operating under Holy Spirit power, it's going to be evident through your life. And men cannot do anything but, listen, follow after the ways of Christ. Spirit of God wouldn't lead you in any other way. It wouldn't. And so Paul, as a father here, just looks at them and says, what are you wanting? Are you wanting somebody to come in there and just show that they can have more power than you? That's not of the way of God. Come on, the kingdom of God. That wouldn't be about the kingdom of God, that I could come in there and beat the snot out of you with a rod. I think Paul would have done it. But he's just very clear that that's not what the Spirit of God would have in a house of God. Should be that every one of us would stop and go, I want to walk in the ways of Christ. No, no, I want to follow after Christ. No, no, if there's something in my life and I want to get it right. And I tell you that you in your spiritual walk, I just think it's very needful. Just like Paul's encouraging them. Listen, I want to come to you not with a rod, but with love and with a spirit of meekness. I'm not trying to correct you to get a rise out of you. I'm not trying to correct you to get you, to insult you or to get you angry. I want to humble myself before you to be able to tell you. And you know what? You ought to be in a place where you would desire that there would be someone who you would consider more spiritual than yourself that would give you the same kind of correction. No, honestly. You need to find, you need to let someone know, listen, I need you to correct me if I need it. Because sometimes you need it. And so do I. I need you to point some things out. If we're having a conversation, if we're walking together in this road of life, and you see something in my life that needs corrected, I'm telling you, a spiritual person and someone who wants to walk in the ways of Christ is going to have someone else in their life that they're going to desire that they would come along and they'd say, you know what? This doesn't look good. This doesn't seem to be, you know, going in the right direction. Your attitude's wrong. Your spirit's wrong. The way you're talking to people is wrong. The way you're living is wrong. I'm telling you, you ought to have someone that does that. Now the truth is, you go to a church. Amen. And the truth is that quite often around here, we just open the Word of God and we try to preach and teach and desirous that we'd be in the ways of Christ. And I'll just say this, it's very possible that I can get in the flesh, but I'll just tell you, in my heart, at the bottom of, from the bottom of my heart, I don't get up here and just say, hey, listen, this is what the Bible says, just trying to offend anybody. I don't. Say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you cannot believe that, but just my heart of heart, at the very bottom of my heart, the depths of my heart, I try very hard not to get up here and go, oh, I got a good one for brother so and so. I really don't. I know we've jumped around a little bit with the COVID stuff and messed around a little bit with that kind of thing, just because I thought, man, there's some things I wanted to address just because of the difficulty of the day and stuff like that. But for the most part, if you come around here very often, we're kind of in the book of Exodus. And so if this morning's sermon hit you, guess what? That was the next chapter in the book of Exodus. Didn't go out of my way at all to try to step on your toes this morning. Sunday night, we're just kind of going through the book of 1 Corinthians. And that's kind of just how we flow through things. And you say, well, why do we do it that way? For the very purpose that we'd understand that if there's correction that needs to be done, if there's something that needs to be pointed out, that we'd have the ability to understand that, man, this might not just be pastor pointing this out to me. Maybe this would be the ways of Christ. No, maybe my heart is hurt right now. My feelings are hurt right now. I'm kind of uneasy with that right now because my life isn't in the ways that be of Christ. And when I get stirred up and puffed up in my pride, listen, friend, that's definitely not the way of Christ. Paul is a father. He's very desirous here that he could give loving instruction instead of haughty words. My goodness, if we come to the house of God and we have haughty words one toward another, we have angry words, frustrated words. I mean, if we leave here and we're just, I mean, like the stacks have blown and I'm telling you, how in the world can we say, well, we came and met with Christ at church today. Walked in the ways of Christ at church today. And yet we left here with our chest all puffed out. I mean, we didn't leave here going, Lord, thank you. Sinner saved by grace. And man, God had grace upon me. Thank you. I mean, the Word of God, it was for me. Lord, thank you. But no, we leave here going, I can't believe them and that. Oh. Come on. And then we want to say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Walk in the ways of the Lord. Oh, absolutely. King James Bible, Baptist. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You have all those things right. And we can look good. And we can look the part. And we can call ourselves a member of a church. And yet, nobody can even come alongside of us and say, you know what? Maybe you ought to think about this a little bit. Come on, maybe you ought to give some attention here. You say, well, you think he's being that... No, I'm thinking he's willing to go and beat them if he has to, but look at verse number 14 again, and I'm done. I've gone a little farther over. But I really do believe Paul, I mean, as calmly as he can, saying, I write not these things to shame you. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm not trying to call, I don't even want to bring attention to you. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings whatsoever. But as my beloved son, I just need to warn you. Church of Corinth, your ways are not the ways of Christ. You need to get a good example to follow after. You need to humble yourself a little bit. When I get there, I don't want to get there and have a knockdown drag out with you. No, I want us both to be able to love one another and humble ourselves before God. And at the end of the day, God gets glorified. You get helped. That's what I want. Just as a loving father, I want to warn you. Listen, it should be the attitude, the spirit of God, that when we hear the Word of God preached and we hear get correction, and I get it too. I need preaching. I purposely put myself under preaching because I need the Word of God to continue to correct me. Right my ways when they need righted. Listen, it should be a desire of the child of God that we'd be walking in the ways of Christ. And it shouldn't be that we puff up every time someone tries to help us and tries to warn us. It should be that we'd go, my goodness, have I not been? I mean, honestly, it should be that we'd be going, man, I've blown it. I've blown it from time to time. Amen. Even as a pastor, I've blown it from time to time in walking in the ways of Christ. You know what? Doesn't help me. Wouldn't help you. Wouldn't help anybody sitting on that pew right there if I puffed my chest out and said, how dare you correct me? How dare you think you can tell me that? I'm not a pastor. I've been in this church for a long time. I've been saved for quite a while. Doesn't do anybody any good. But when we'll come together in love and in the spirit of meekness, listen, Christ can be glorified. Christ can be lifted up. Listen, our life can be then built on the power of the Spirit of God instead of us boasting ourselves and puffing out our chest, trying to make believe and make everybody else believe that we're the Christian we think we are in our head, when the reality is we're not much of a Christian at all when it concerns the way of Christ. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.